Any more thoughts?
I'm just trying to think. I don't know. As far as the solution, Laleo and I were PMing about this, and she asked for ideas, and I said, I think if we figured out how to make Grease Spot perfectly peaceful, we could find the answer to world peace in general, and we'd be wasting our time on an internet forum. But it's never going to be perfect. We all know that. But I think, I don't know if it was Shell or Abby that said, you know, if we can be an example of it. I don't think it hurts to remind each other, you know, maybe just by example, maybe if everybody's piling on and saying, you idiot, you know, you're a troll, say, well, be the one to step in and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll turn a thread from being a big brouhaha into an actual discussion. The other thing I see, too, is that everything's got to be a debate. And there's I have no problem with debates, but sometimes just a discussion would suffice.
Yeah.
You have to prove your rules of logic and all this stuff. It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I think it's great for people, particularly when they just leave TWI, to be exposed to the disagreements in that. Because I think in TWI, acceptance was equated with agreeing with people. And at Grease Spot and in the world, you can have acceptance and not agree with people. And I think that's an equation that needs to get eradicated. But I think in people's heads that still exists, that if I disagree with something you did, that I suddenly don't like you. And that's not necessarily the case, and usually isn't the case.
Absolutely.
That's very true, Pa. This is Abby again. And not only that, but you can dislike somebody and still care about them, which I think is something that we have to relearn again when we leave. And there's there's a few people who I do dislike. But you know what? If they needed something and I could help them, I would do it in a heartbeat, because I still see them as a valuable human being, even if they're not someone I'd want to hang out with and spend time with. They're still a human being. They still have a heart. They still have needs, and they're still valuable.
Mm-hmm.
In TWI, though, we were so taught that, you know, if you were outside the fold, you were worthless. You were a walking empty. You had no value. And I think it takes time to kind of overcome that teaching in terms of how you think others view you and in terms of how you view others.
Right. Yeah, it's.
I think that's. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Linda.
I think that's why sometimes I have trouble with the reactions. I was kind of a rebel. I mean, I still have the same friends I've had since third grade. Not all of them, of course, but several. And I never turn my back on my friends and my family. So I think sometimes it's hard for me to relate to what happened with people later years from when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And even when, excuse me, any such suggestions were made, I just disregarded them. So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't give up that kind of control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe why someone who was more obedient than I was, and I might have trouble seeing things from each other's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the many variables. I mean, not only were our TWI experiences different, but, and I think Abby touched on it earlier, our backgrounds before that, our upbringing, the way we perceive other people, those are different to begin with. And then you add into the mix the variety of experiences people had. And it's a miracle that we communicate at all sometimes, I think, because it's so different. If you're talking about a different time frame, a different location, different leadership, you know, it's the experience was very different. The outcomes were very different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is Abby.
If you just respect the differences, then I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you for waiting.
No, that's okay. This is Abby again, and as I was like you, I never really gave up my family ties. Although I did towards the end give up some friendships as people were leaving the ministry before I did, and it really does something to you on the inside, or at least it did to me, to do that to another human being who you love, to turn your back on them and stop speaking to them. And I don't even know if I know how to describe it, except that it really, you can't look at yourself in the mirror the same way after you do that. And I only experienced a brief taste of that because I left very shortly after I was put in the position of having to do that. But I can't imagine what it must be like for those who were really indoctrinated in that and who really did turn their back on a lot of people. I think that's something that takes a long time to recover from.
I think you're right. I remember I had left staff. I don't think I'd been dropped from the Corps yet, but I was living in St. Mary's after I left staff. I came back to Cleveland, and I went and lived in St. Mary's for a little while. And I ran into a girl who worked with me on staff. I trained her. She was, I don't know, she came on staff 2 or 3 years after I did. And it sounds silly to say I mentored her, but in her eyes, I was her mentor. I was older. I'd been in my field longer, and I'd been around the block a few more times, and she really looked up to me. And I ran into her in St. Mary's after I left staff, and I resigned. I didn't get the boot, but I know a lot was said. And I ran into her and her husband at McDonald's in St. Mary's, Ohio, and I was thrilled to see her. I was like, oh, hi, how you doing? I felt so sorry for her. She looked at me like she had seen a ghost. She turned pale. She said, mumbled a couple words to her husband and out the door like a shot.
Wow.
This is someone who had once cared about and respected me, and I thought, how sad that whatever they're doing there has made her be like this.
Yeah.
You know, I felt really sorry for her. I thought, how awful to be so full of fear that you can't even talk to someone that you were friends with. I felt really, really bad for her, and I think you're right, Abby. I think it must have taken a lot out of people to be pressured into behaving that way. I can't imagine it. It must have just been an emotional turmoil.
It does. It really wipes you out. I had two very close friends leave before I did, and one of them, we have since reconnected, and you know, she knows what I did and why I did it, and we're pretty much okay on that score. And I have another friend who, oh my gosh, she helped me raise my first child. She took care of him while I was working, and you know, she was just always there for me. And I don't think she's ever gotten over it, and she doesn't talk to me anymore. And you know, I've tried to kind of repair the damage and apologize and whatnot, and she won't talk to me, and I can't blame her, and I don't hold that against her. It saddens me, but. You know, but it does. When you hurt someone that you care about, you hurt yourself. And when you do that over and over and over again, you're going to cause a lot of damage.
Yeah. I really can't imagine. When I first started reading what it was like after I left, I was just stunned. The increased control and that genuine spiritual suspicion crap and all that stuff. I mean, I just couldn't. I just can't imagine living like that, keeping a log of what you're doing. And oh my God, I feel so bad for people who were there. For whatever reason they were there, whether they stuck around trying to make things better or whatever, my heart goes out for sure. But
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, it really did get quite... I have no idea what it's like now, and I know there's some new people posting who are still with the ministry who are saying it's better, and boy, I sure hope it is and that it stays that way. I have my doubts that it will stay that way, but it would be nice if it did. By the time I left, I could not have anyone into my house, even if they were in the ministry, without tracking my husband down first and getting his permission, which was difficult to do. And it was literally like being a prisoner in my own home. And when he first came out with that edict, I thought, this is absolutely insane, and I'm not going to do that. And actually, I didn't follow him on that very often, and we had a lot of fights about it because I wouldn't. But I went to our leadership, and I said, this is crazy. I can't live like this. And they supported him, which just totally blew me away, that they, because this is totally insane. But it did. It was very intense. And so when people come to GreeSpot who are newly out, I guess you have to imagine that they have been through some really, really intense stuff and probably have a lot of very intense stuff that they're going to dump. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it is good for us to remember that, and I do forget that, mm-hmm. because in some ways that's so far behind me now.
You know, I've been out now 17 years. That's the same number of years I was in. So for me, this is such a distant thing. But every now and then, it's still good. There's still healing going on. I certainly am not above the need for healing and mental readjustment. Something will come up that really strikes me, like, oh my God, did I really used to think like that? You know, just amazing. But back to the original topic. I mean, what can we do? I have to ask what we can do when somebody like Jung and Freud come along. I mean, these guys, I don't know if they knew what they're in for.
Yeah. I'm sure they...
I mean, what can we do to try to steer things away from just this suspicion?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing. I got a number of emails from different people that correspond with me regularly saying, you know, hey, I don't know if you've seen this person, but you better watch out. It looks real suspicious. And I, you know, I always pay attention to things like that. But... you know, I also want to give somebody the benefit of the doubt also, you know, that they're not, just because they know Craig doesn't necessarily mean that there's some ulterior motive. I think if somebody was a troll, they might not use that approach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, one of the moderators was got one of the email addresses, and the guy was legitimate. His name was listed on other places and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think that it's, you know, let them have their peace and not attack them. You know, you can be skeptical as much as you want, but, you know, ask questions. You know,
right. Or just wait.
Yeah.
And be quiet.
Yeah. You know, if there's something askew, it'll come out. You know, like the saying, it'll come out in the wash.
Exactly.
You know, but I think that I've gotten many, many an email from people shortly after they've registered saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And a lot of it being the way they were treated when they did make their first or second or tenth post.
Well, you know, I haven't heard it much lately, but there used to be a lot of accusations thrown around about people being trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, you know, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. If he really is, we're not that stupid.
Right.
You know, it'll become obvious. And if not, then what have we lost? I mean, you know, what do we lose if we lose somebody who really has something to say but is run off by, you know, 10 people jumping in their case,
or more importantly,
when they say something,
or more importantly, somebody that needs something, you know, that needs
right.
to get answers, needs to get some closure, you know. So, I think
I agree with that, and I think Satori kind of made a good point about that today, in that even a troll may have some value to the board if they can cause, if they, you know, cause us to think
right.
more. And they really have no more power than we give them anyway.
Right.
So to get all up in arms and panicky and upset that someone's a troll is almost kind of silly, because it's the internet. It's not like they're in your living room
right.
and they're going to turn around and attack you physically.
And Abby, you said a key sentence when you said they have no more power than what we give them. And I think that's such a key thing, because, you know, and I posted to that effect, and maybe I'm starting to repeat myself, but I can't control what people say to me in there any more than I can control the things that people say to me at work or on the street or whatever. But I can control how I let them affect me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to let posts get me all upset, then I need to think about what it is in me that is so vulnerable to what somebody says to me. I mean, it happens to all of us sometimes. I mean, in the thread that caused all this, I hate to keep naming the person who's at the center of it, because I feel like we're talking about somebody who's not here. But I finally got pissed off and said, yeah, I'm Rosalie F. and Rivenbark. I just had reached the end of my limit. But if we can try not to react, if we can try to act, if we can try to reason and, like I said, ask questions, and then if we want to strongly disagree, you know, if the response to did you really mean this was what was suspected, then I'd be right in there jumping on it too. But
right.
give people a chance. And you got to take into account, I remember, bless Roy's heart, he is the dearest heart of anybody. I remember what crap people gave him because of his manner of expression. I don't know if you guys remember, but he's
oh, I do.
Stuff, and people were all over his case, and bless his heart, he just hung in there and kept being him. But not everybody would do that. I mean, there were some real harsh things said to him, and I'm glad that he wasn't run off, because I think he had something very, very valuable. And like you said, Abby, everybody has something of value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be a shame to lose someone just over the troll accusations, and I'm sure it does happen. And while I don't have an issue with passionately disagreeing with someone's point of view, I do think that the crying wolf, so to speak, at new people is very hurtful.
Yes.
Or if not hurtful, like, for example, Freud and Jung, I doubt if their feelings were hurt, but they might have just been put off by the whole thing, like, this is too much trouble, because every thread that they tried to start erupted into some other subject, basically, because Craig obviously is a trigger for a lot of people.
Yes, yes.
The subject
right.
of Craig Martindale is a trigger in and of itself. And, you know, I think I can't speak for them, obviously, but maybe they just felt like there was no way they were going to ever reach any sort of a reasonable dialogue with this group, when they had to keep explaining themselves and defending themselves, or the alternative, just leave, which seems to be what they've done. Who knows? Maybe they'll be back. I don't know.
One of them was online the other night, about two nights ago, reading, so there
yeah.
may be hope. I hope they read this weekend, because I think more has been said about them this weekend on a conciliatory note than prior, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a form of self-policing that goes on. It's sort of like the envelope gets pushed all the way to the very edge, and then everybody kind of pulls back
yeah.
a little bit and cools down a little and has another day. They have another day to have some kind of a reasonable conversation.
Yeah, I forget who said it, but there was something about, I've seen the balance of life as I'm hanging on the pendulum going from extreme to extreme.
Right. Right. I've passed the balance many times. Donnie Fugit used to say that a lot, but I don't know if he was quoting somebody else.
Yeah, I've heard different people
say it. I know
the
balance. I've passed it so many times.
That's real life, too. I think all of life is that way. We swing back and forth to some degree or another. Certainly, hopefully not to too many extremes, but...
Yeah. And thank God for the voices of reason. You know, people like Oakespear.
Mm-hmm.
He's very balanced and very reasonable. And he seems very willing to look at any issue from a couple of different angles, take into consideration where people might be coming from. And I think that's such an admirable thing about him. And it's a really good example. And I think he has a lot of respect. So I'm glad that people like Oakespear and a lot of others stick around because... without being harsh or hard or judgmental, they can sort of remind people of some consideration that's needed without beating them over the head with it. I tend to be, I don't know, I think I sound like I'm beating people over the head, and I'm really not. I'm just trying to make my point clear. But he's really good at that.
You've been a voice of reason many times, so...
Oh, most of the time I try. Sometimes I have my moments, like all of us.
We all do, yeah.
I'm no expert on this, and I'm no paragon to set myself up as an example. I just think that we all need to work together to try to keep things on a reasonable course and keep from tearing each other apart. I mean, good God. We had enough of that. I mean, even when I was still in, there was enough criticism and accusation and suspicion and judgment. And somebody talked about, don't you should me? Don't tell me you should. We all had our fill of that. So I'd really hate to see then for us to turn around and give it to each
right,
other.
Right. Well, any closing thoughts, either of you?
Lord.
If you're looking for something profound, I think I'm all out.
I think I either said it. I do appreciate your asking me, and I think these things are good.
Yeah, I think this is, I didn't know what to expect. I've been kind of thinking about it for a couple of weeks, and I said, well, gee, I don't know how it would work, and like this, but I actually think it could be a very something we could do on a regular basis with different people. You know, and it also gives a chance. I've gotten a lot of feedback from interviews that I've done saying that it adds a perspective or a dimension to a person that you've never seen before, which is a good thing. It can never hurt to do that.
Right.
Oh, it's always fun to do that. And you get a mental image of somebody and then you see them and they look totally different than you imagined, or you hear their voice and it sounds really different than what you thought it would, and it's kind of a cool thing.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode, The Round Table, about throwing stones. If you have any feedback or suggestions, please feel free to email me at Pawtucket@GreaseSpotCafe.com. There will be more episodes coming very soon. Thank you, and good night.